Today on Wings, Natasha Mahango from Zambia describes her journalism career based on covering what her audience most needs to know and sharing what they teach her.
If we don't take care of our resources, if we don't confront and accept that climate change is here and we have to do something about it, our food systems are going to break.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
My name is Natasha Mahango, and I am an agricultural journalist from Lusaka, Zambia. I have had about 13 years plus experience in the media industry, and actually maybe I could say 16 years, because I started out as an amateur journalist at the age of 15 when my friend's sister started a newspaper. It was called Trendsetters, and the objective of this newspaper was basically to give a voice to the youth, to talk about hard-hitting issues like their sexual reproductive health. In African culture, we can all, you know, think of a time back in the day when it was so hard for our parents to have honest and open conversations with us about our sexual reproductive health. So this newspaper kind of filled in the gaps. At the time, I was 15, I was in 10th grade, and, you know, it was something that I was doing for fun. Years later, I got my degree in mass communication. By then, Trendsetters had expanded into a very popular magazine, and so I joined them as a section editor and had some experience with writing and editing, particularly, again, in issues of sexual reproductive health of young people. So, you know, the media industry tends to be a little bit rough, especially starting out. Not many media houses want to take a chance on you, especially when it comes to, like, exciting desks and so on. So I decided to look for formal employment and found myself being employed by the Ministry of Agriculture. Now, our Ministry of Agriculture in Zambia has a media wing, which is called the National Agricultural Information Services. So I was taken to that wing, where I have been employed as a writer and editor for the publication section. And the ministry has a quarterly magazine called Agriculture Today, which I usually edit and oversee the compilation of this magazine. I must admit that entering the ministry at that time, I didn't have any knowledge of agriculture. And I think maybe at the time, I must admit also that, you know, I wasn't that much interested. My interest grew because of issues of climate change. Looking at my work experience, I think I naturally have an interest in humanitarian issues, humanitarian stories. And so when I saw how climate change was affecting rural communities, that is where my interest in agriculture came in. It's a fact in Africa, you know, all rural communities depend on agriculture for their rural livelihoods. And so when issues of climate change came in, we were now seeing sad stories of how household nutrition was being affected, how household incomes were being affected. And naturally, when I was looking at how climate change was affecting agriculture, I would have to now go back and say, okay, so how do you grow this crop? And what happens if it doesn't have enough water or enough rain season and so on? Also, I've had a growing interest in livestock farming. But effects of climate change are becoming more and more visible every year. Zambia in particular, I think we've seen that our agriculture growing season has started to diminish because the rain season has started to reduce. And we find even in this few months of rain, the rain is not consistent. Today we're talking about heavy floods in one part of the country while the other side is completely dry. I think farmers are slowly becoming alive to that fact. And as a result, they are becoming more hungry for information on how to make their lives better. So I think such stories and such incidents have really made my career a little bit more exciting, because I'm spending more time talking to the rural farmer, hearing more personal stories of how climate change is affecting agriculture. On the other side, also, I think what keeps me interested in agriculture is those who are thriving, to see, you know, they kind of show you that farming is indeed a business, and if you take it seriously, there is a lot of money to be made. We're looking at the direction the world is going through now. You're looking at global food crisis and so on. Naturally, the prices of food are going up. This is making agriculture also quite lucrative now, especially for young people as well. I have seen young people slowly thriving through agriculture, and I want to share with the youth how to make very good money if you're consistent with it, if you have a passion for it. So those are angles which are keeping me interested in agriculture reporting. Looking at my experience, agriculture can be quite technical. And like most science reporting, I think a lot of journalists approach with caution, because journalists were always accused of taking things out of context. And I think that's because we don't ask questions. I'll talk from experience. You know, sometimes I was scared in the first years of my career to ask questions, because I felt, you know, I just felt dumb. Like, oh my goodness, I'm asking such a basic question. Everybody in the room knows the answer to this question. So we don't clarify, you know, breaking down technical information for the audience. But with experience, I've seen that most of my audience are farmers, so there's no need to always break down information into nitty-gritty. There are certain concepts which they're able to get. And in the long run, my audience has helped me also to specialize into agriculture reporting. I'm learning from them, and then I'm sharing information, and the people I'm sharing information with are also learning from us. And I think for me, there's a kind of, I'd say, satisfaction which comes from that. I think every journalist can testify that it's a gratifying experience to know that you made some work, you did a production, you wrote an article, and people did read it and appreciate it, even if the comments come back and they're negative or they criticize the angle you've chosen. It's just nice to know that someone actually read your work.
On Wings, you're listening to Zambian agricultural journalist Natasha Mahango.
In the past 10 years, we've had government after government making very aggressive efforts to make agriculture the lead, the driver of the economy. And so I've tried to tailor my work, my agriculture reporting, to get that message out to farmers and also to give farmers a voice, so that in this, you know, problem solving of climate change and the impact that it has on agriculture, at least I can provide a platform for, you know, farmers and other stakeholders to discuss and problem solve. I think also another thing that comes into play is the fact that the food industry will never die. As a country, Zambia has been depending so much on minerals. Of course, that still is the lead driver of the economy, but facts show that minerals are diminishing assets. But when you look at the food industry will never die. And I think there's need now for more aggressive reporting on how we can conserve our soils, on how we can properly utilize the resources that we have. You look at Zambia, like most African countries, is fast urbanizing. Everything is becoming urban. Urbanization comes with deforestation. And I think for me, what keeps me going in my career also is the need to get that message out, to say, you know, land cannot be reproduced, okay? It's not going to expand. If anything, it's diminishing with issues of climate change, rising water levels, and so on. So I think for me, my mission now is just to remind people that if we don't take care of our resources, if we don't confront and accept that climate change is here and we have to do something about it, our food systems are going to break. So I look at the agriculture sector and Another thing that I notice is that agriculture reporting, like most science reporting, is popularized more by male reporters. When you look at also the kind of people that we interview, the voices of the women farmers aren't so prominent. But I try to get the voices of the female farmers out. When you look at the balance that we're trying to bring, food security and nutrition, you find in rural communities, the nutrition part is always falling on the women. And so women in most traditional cultures tend to lead, you know. Women are always considered the chief nutritionists in the home. Even in urban cultures, I think women, even the working woman, is always expected to be the leader in the kitchen. And so if we want to tackle issues of nutrition, the female farmer is the first starting point. If she knows good nutritional practices, if she knows proper crop agricultural practices, she is the person that is going to improve the nutrition of her household. And so when I look at also the kind of agricultural reporting, we find ourselves now bringing in issues of gender balances. Gender is something else that I'm also passionate about, and there's so much gender inequality in agriculture. And if that gender inequality is not solved, issues of climate change will continue to impact rural incomes. Women still don't have easy access to land. Women don't have access to agricultural inputs. They don't have so much access, especially to credit. And so those are the issues that I like to bring out in my reporting. When I look at our field as communication specialists, I've also noticed that very few female reporters are in the industry. And I think it's because, I wouldn't say it's gender imbalances which are inflicted in the workplace, but I think it's also self-bias. I think women need to be encouraged to enter the field of science, the way we're encouraging young girls to go and study medicine, to go and study, you know, pharmacy and the like. That is what we also need to do when it comes to agriculture reporting, encourage more women to take on science assignments. And I think with more women on the science desk, we're also going to have more women voices on issues of agriculture and climate change. The last 2 years of my career, I have noticed the visible impact of climate change. About 10 years ago, when I was writing about climate change, it was very superficial. I was writing, this could happen, this might happen. And now I'm looking at those things having happened. We're in a situation where there are personal stories of how people have lost complete livestock to flooding. And so those are the stories that I enjoy so much the most. Not that I enjoy writing them, but I enjoy telling them in the hope that, you know, it reaches the ears of the right policymakers. I think we're in a situation where agriculture, the effects of climate change require policy action first before people on the ground can take action. When we discuss these issues with farmers, most of the time they are so interested in mitigation effects. They know what is happening. They know that the climate is changing, but they need more follow-up action on what they can do. They need recommended practices on how they can handle the issue. But what is most needed is early warning systems and things like that. Need policy action. They need policy change which supports early warning systems.
On Wings, you're listening to Natasha Mahango, a journalist with Zambia's Ministry of Agriculture.
So when I'm talking to these farmers and I'm hearing these stories, and I think to myself, today I'm talking to a farmer in Lundazi District in Eastern Province. At the back of my mind, I know there's a farmer somewhere in Southern Province who's suffering the same fate. There's a farmer in Western Province who's suffering the same fate. And so I try to tailor and disseminate my stories into shareable pieces, things which farmers can share via WhatsApp, for example. When I look at the organization that I'm currently working for and that it is looking at educating farmers on climate change and mitigation effects, I try to tailor my stories in such a way that farmers can see that, okay, this is a global issue. This is happening everywhere. This is how Farmer A sorted it out. Maybe Farmer C can try it this way. And I've noticed at this point, print media still is one of the, not, I won't call it preferred choices, but it's the easiest ways for farmers to access and most importantly, share information. It's nice knowing that when I compile a magazine, for example, you give it to one farmer, he will keep it, he will share it, the neighbor can borrow it and read it, bring it back, this person can borrow it and read it. So that is why I have remained in the print side of things. I love to be able to package my content in such a way that there's a ripple effect. It will be shared from one person to the other. With growing social media now, I think WhatsApp is proving to be also a good platform for me to make very short mini videos within 2 minutes, make your point within those 2 minutes, make it shareable within WhatsApp. I think technology is now something which, you know, everybody is getting access to. We do have rural farmers who do have smartphones and they're able to see audiovisual messages on agriculture and climate change. And also, it's nice to disseminate information through agro events in Zambia. I'd say between March and August, we have seed fairs. There are a lot of events where farmers like to come and learn. And it's also a nice place for me to learn as well, because in my career, I've noticed that the rural farmer is also a specialist in their own right. So my word to, you know, policymakers also is when we're doing our policy making process, we should learn to consult the rural farmer. We should learn to respect indigenous knowledge, respect the fact that they are specialists in their own right. They have been farming from very young ages up to now. Most of us are learning from the book, which is a very different experience on the ground. And I like that. That's another thing which has kept me interested as an agriculture journalist. There's always something to learn. And my experience also has been a very colorful one, because I'm so targeted at the rural communities. I've found myself in a job where I'm always on the road, and I love to travel. I've seen how vast my country is. Zambia is a huge country, extremely vast, and I've been able to see firsthand the effects of climate change. I'm in one province and it's completely dry. Next week, I'm in another province and it's raining nonstop. It's been a very beautiful experience, if I can say that, at least having that firsthand experience of what farmers are going through. And it's my hope that within time, my audience could take what I say a little bit more seriously. I think we're in a situation where, not just me, but I think all environmental journalists and agriculture journalists can testify to the fact that when people see our content, they'll read it and they'll be like, oh, shame, that's sad, and they'll put it aside. But I think now we need to be a little bit more proactive. You know, we are watching global news, the effects of climate change, wildfires in Europe. I think in Africa, we have to be a bit more proactive. And I think journalists and environmental activists should come together and try and compel some more proactive action from our governments, especially when it comes to protecting our agriculture. And talking about agriculture and protecting our agriculture, I think something that I've learned along the way, which we slowly should start talking more about, is food sovereignty. I think that when we look at Zambia, I'll give an example of my own country, which has become a major maize producer in the region. when we look at how the maize industry is affected, or maize crop rather, is affected by climate change, I think it's also some kind of a warning to us to say, you know, it's time for us to reconsider going back to our indigenous seed and protecting our indigenous seed. I think traditional seed is proving to be more climate resilient. And so if we're going to promote food security in rural communities, we need to take more proactive, you know, action towards protecting indigenous seed. And through the reporting that I've done, especially on issues of, you know, food sovereignty, climate change, and so on, agriculture has exposed me to people that are interested in what I talk about. And when you meet people that are interested in what you're talking about, next thing it's, oh, let's have a meeting. Oh, we're having a conference this side. Why don't you come? And now I find myself expanding my horizons, my exposure to countries outside the continent, especially before COVID. I think I was in every continent except Australia, thanks to my job, you know, attending conferences on agriculture data and the importance of data and agriculture reporting and talking about climate change. And it's been a lovely experience. And I think those are the moments I look back, and I think coming into agricultural journalism was one of the best decisions I ever made. It was a by the way thing. At some point, I did want to leave because I was young and I thought, look, farming is for old people. But no, now my eyes have really opened up. And when I go into rural communities and I interact with little children sometimes, and I'll ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And when they say farmer, I'm like, you're the smart one. You are really the smart one. You know where the money is. But to wrap things up, I guess I can say that I'm very grateful for the experiences that I've had. Because agriculture is predominantly done by our countryside, rural communities, I think interacting with farmers has helped me remain grounded in my culture. There are certain communities that have really conserved their way of life. They have conserved the way they cook their food. They have conserved the type of food that they eat. And I think for me, it's a beautiful experience to be able to get in touch with my culture and the culture of other tribes in Zambia and the Zambian culture as a whole, just from how people grow and prepare their food. I think there's so much, I don't want to say personality, but I would say tradition in the way that we produce our food. And I think it's a beautiful experience to see Zambian identity in food production. I never thought I would ever describe, you know, food production in that way. But I think there's a lot of cultural preservation which comes into rural food production. And the fact that our food is also mostly organic, I think it's a proud moment for me as an agriculture journalist to see how the Zambian identity comes out in food preservation, in food processing. So I think that's been one of the most beautiful things as an agriculture journalist, going into the rural areas and learning about a culture. So I think, to put it in a nutshell, I'd say it's not as scary as people think. I think science, yeah, there are technical terms which, you know, with time you learn how to break it down. And, you know, when you're speaking to farmers in vernacular, they also break down these terms for you. And like I said, it's a learning experience. So I think I've enjoyed every moment of my career in agriculture. And I don't see myself diverting into any other any other field. I think with time, of course, and focus on climate change, you kind of realize that, you know, agriculture and environmental reporting always interlap at such point, because agriculture is dependent on the environment. But I think generally these are issues that I've grown to love because I've learned so much about them. And, you know, it's just not one of those careers I would tell young girls to shy away. It's not boring at all. It's not technical. And I think if there's any female journalist out there, I would say come and see what's happening in the farming industry. There are so many beautiful stories to tell, so many beautiful experiences. And I think also the other experience I have loved also about agriculture reporting is I now have a higher interest in what I eat and how it's produced. It's not that I'm a fussy person, but I think I look at the impact of some of the agricultural technologies that we're trying to promote. And then I come home and see how the rural farmer does it. And I have to admit that in my opinion, I think our rural farmers have the right concept. They have the right way of doing things. If you look around the world today, everyone now wants to go back to organic food. Nobody wants processed food. I think Zambia is one of those countries that has a very small tolerance to genetically modified foods. And so that's one experience that I can say I love knowing what I eat, and I love knowing that African food is generally very healthy. I think that's something that I've learned, and it's not just Zambian food. When I travel to other African countries next door to Malawi, you look at production in Zimbabwe, you look at the traditional foods in East Africa. I think our food is really healthy, and I think if we can protect our indigenous foods, I think in the long run, we will ensure food security. I think we have to remember that, you know, farming is a business, and farmers will only grow what people will sell. And so I think if we want to really help the farmer promote indigenous foods, I think we have to also, you know, complement his work by diversifying our nutrition at home, diversifying the kind of foods we eat. I'm not saying, you know, everything westernized is bad and so on, but I think if we really want to grow our agriculture sector, I think as journalists, we need to tell more stories of how our food production systems, our local food production, indigenous food systems were functioning just fine and still offer us the best, you know, options in terms of food security and also in terms of proper nutrition and also in terms of, you know, health and the organic, you know, the way they're grown organically. So I think my final advice to journalists who want to enter agriculture reporting is that, you know, try to be the voice of the farmer. I'm so passionate about the rural farmer because I think the rural farmer is the one that feeds us all. Rural farmers are in the majority. Yes, I know they can't compete yet with, you know, commercial farmers, but you find that when we are looking for our indigenous foods, we rarely go into the supermarket. We always go to the lady on the street side who has bought the vegetables, who has dried them if we want them dried, who has preserved them and conserved them in the traditional way. So the agriculture journalists tell the story of rural production systems. I am a believer that the rural farmer has got the concept right. The rural farmer is the one who has the solution to climate change. And I think we need to share more and more of those stories. Thank you.
That was Natasha Mahango, a journalist with the Agriculture Department of Zambia. Diana Wanyonyi interviewed her for Wings. Zambia has long had very strict rules against importing genetically modified organisms that might pollute the agricultural gene pool. As of June 2022, a process intended to revise the rules and promote GMO use is meeting strong resistance. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or check our website wingsradio.org/wordpress. Wings thanks our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found at gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.